This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Clears the 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, no, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who looks like the holiday and the event that runs through his hometown of Independence, Neowalla, which is Halloween spelled backwards, and he looks like a pumpkin today, wearing his orange. Mr. Steve Sell.
Have my Indy Bulldog orange.
Go Dogs.
Dogs may end up making a trip to McPherson during the football season.
Really?
Yeah, because if McPherson High Bullpups have the kind of year we think they're going to have.
I don't know what you meant.
And the Indy Bulldogs have the kind of year that they're predicted to have. Indy High could very well be the Bullpups' first opponent in Week 9.
I don't have my media guide that I put together in front of me. But at the back of it, Steve, I've got a spot in there where it shows all of the opponents that McPherson will play this year and who they play. And if I remember right, at least two teams have the Indy Bulldogs on their schedule. Circle is going to play them the week before McPherson does. And then I think one other team. Where's it at? I'm trying to spot it real quick. There's one more. Oh, Rose Hill plays them in the last game
really?
Of the year.
Okay, they're in the same. Yeah,
so
okay.
Indy making a little Central Kansas debut.
Well, and you know,
your Indy Bulldogs.
I think they were 2-7 last year. They were 8-2 the year before that, but 2-7 lost a lot of good kids. And it doesn't sound like they're going to be real strong this year. I know McPherson High defensive coordinator Chet Harlan, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's an old Indy Bulldog. And he and I discussed the Bulldogs, and he's saying, doesn't look good for our alma mater. And Chet's dad, of course, Tom, his late father, Tom, he and I went to school together. You know, spent a lot of time at Riley School back when I was the blur. You know,
we've talked a lot about Riley School in the last couple
Riley
of days.
Riley School was that was my halcyon days because.
How's Riley School look right now?
Torn down. There is no Riley
Rubble.
There is no Riley
Parking
School.
Lot.
In fact, the three grade schools that were in Independence when I was growing up, two of them are torn down, and the other one they're turning into, I think, apartment complexes. Washington School.
Who wouldn't love to live in their kindergarten classroom?
At least that's what I'd heard, that they were going to try and turn them into to apartment complexes or offices or something like that. That'd take a lot of work because Washington School, I mean, it was the biggest school in Independence, grade school.
That's why it'd be a great luxury apartment complex.
Yeah, so I thought they'd just tear it down. But
now you have the bedroom here, and then you've got the nap time pallets over here, and then the friendship
and, you know,
circle can be
it
here.
It was interesting because my sister, who's 3 years older than me, of course, went to Riley School. But they had a deal back then. The exceptional students from both Riley and Lincoln schools, the top 5%, those kids went to Washington. There was a special class.
And you didn't get invited?
Oh, I was.
To the exceptional student club?
No, my sister, of course. You know, we've talked.
Of course.
You know, she was a brainiac. My sister was like, there were like five kids from Riley. Six kids from Riley, six kids from Lincoln joined six kids from Washington, and it was a class for the exceptional students, the elite students, the, you know, hoity-toities, I guess.
The ones that are going to get out of this dump.
That's right. So my sister did not go to Riley School her last year. She went to Washington School.
Wow. Up and up.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned McPherson High defensive coordinator Chet Harlan. I got to talk with him yesterday, and they were doing some offensive drills, and of course, he doesn't like the offensive drills. He wants to get the defense out there and get working, and I asked him, how you liking the defense so far this year? And I think for a lot of people that are still on the outside looking in, I think that's the question that they're asking. How's this defense going to look? Because they were so good last year. He said, man, I really like where we're at right now. And I don't think that's coach talk. That's not him lying and saying, yeah, we're going to get there. No, he feels good right
you
now.
You and I both go out. We don't go at the same time sometimes, but we both generally hit practice pretty regularly. And from what I've seen of our defense, our defensive line will be as good as any. We don't include Miege because Miege is a different animal. But as far as the rest of 4A, I think our defensive line will be as good as anybody in 4A. I think our two inside linebackers are going to be good. They're not going to be Alexander Gearing type. That's almost impossible. The secondary is the big concern for me. I just feel like it's a unit that's going to evolve over time. But fortunately, I don't think we're going to see a lot of passing teams, at least early on in the year.
I think that Coach Harlan would say, Steve, I think the secondary is one of the spots that's really improved a lot, and that there were some questions and some spots within the defense where you're saying, what's going to happen at that position?
Now they play,
but
they play
they've answered these questions.
They play
early.
A 4-2-5.
There you go.
So you do have Caleb Hoppus, who's a hitter, Honesty Whitaker, a hitter. Honesty Whitaker looks really good, by the way. I think he's been very impressive. And then you got a bunch of new guys, but you know, the thing is, they got a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, they've only got three guys to choose from. There's about eight kids that are working out back there. So they've got, you know, they're going to sift through it. I'm sure Friday's scrimmage, you know, might show a little because they're under the lights. It's really the only time they're under, you know, in a game setting with fans in the stands until that first game of the year. So I think they'll keep it pretty vanilla, though. There's always been that thing. There's got to be scouts in the stands.
Oh yeah.
Well, I think with the technology now, coaches don't worry about that. Coaches exchange. I'm sure Pav, Sam Sellers from Salina South, they'll exchange their scrimmage film.
No, they have, and they have film on each other from the Fort Hays State camp, and so that's where they have been able to watch some things. And of course, it's the same coaches with the same styles, so they can look back at things from last year. And so I think that's what both teams have been doing is, and this is one thing I talked about with Coach Merck earlier this morning for Mack College, this first game is just really interesting for every team at every level because you have a pretty good idea of what is going to be out there. You can look at rosters from the last year. You can look at film from the last year. And you can put together a pretty good sample size and say, this is what we think they're going to do. But whenever the lights turn on, and they put the ball down on the tee, and they kick it off, and the first team defense comes out on the field, and the first team offense for the other team walks out, and they break the huddle for the first time, you don't know what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so that's why that first game can always be interesting.
And you know, when we played Salina South the last time, back in
2015
at McPherson Stadium, they had two allegedly tremendous receivers. And we focused, I know, stopping those receivers. I think there was one of the Marcotte kids played there that's been kind of a popular name at Salina South. There was another good receiver. Salina South was coming off a really good, I want to say they were coming off a really good year in 14. I want to say they were like 8-2 or something like that. And our defense held them to one touchdown in that game. 14-7. It was a slugfest. And if I remember right, we scored our 14 points in that game really early. I want to say we scored like two of our first three possessions, and then the rest of the game was played between the 20s and turned into a slugfest. And I think this game, the season opener, I think it'll be a little higher scoring because, for one thing, we're pretty good offensively.
I know one team that will score some points.
We'll score points. But I also think our defense is going to need a couple games to get acclimated with so many new guys. And they're going to be running that robust, you know, what the robust is, the old T formation. You have a quarterback, and then you have a fullback right behind and two halfbacks next to those guys. A lot of trickeration, a lot of ball handling fakes and things like that. And then they'll run like, say, the right running back. He'll come and they'll sweep him with the other two backs leading. So lots of things to prepare for, but they've got to prepare for us. And, you know, the beauty of the Bull Pups this year, the balance is going to be unbelievable. I think our balance, you got Jace Kinnaman at running back, Jacob Vile, a good backup, and Honesty Whitaker, don't ever forget him. Remember, he's a pretty good back. And Kyler Hoppus, of course, proven quarterback, 23 TD passes last year. And then Hoover, Wired, Huff, I mean, they're interchangeable. Hoover, you know, I think is going to be a really terrific player this year. He's gotten bigger and stronger. Huff is tremendously fast, and Wired just does a little bit of everything.
It's going to be a really fun fall. And as we get closer and closer, I think one of the themes that you and I will be talking about is really focusing on playing at their best come week 9, week 10, week 11, once you get into the postseason. Because this is a team that there might be a few games this year where they are not pushed. They don't get a lot of resistance, and that maybe they start thinking, wow, we're really good. And it's not that they're not good, but that I think one thing the coaches will be talking about, what you and I will be talking about, is staying focused and being ready to peak at the right time. And that's a big part of any sport.
And, of course, the Bull Pups, they were at peak form from game one last year.
Right.
They were at their peak in game one and never let down.
Well, they had a great game one. Game two, I think there was just so much energy and emotion in the first game.
Oh, big letdown. Huge letdown.
And if you remember right, Steve, game three against Winfield, they didn't play great. They weren't in any danger of losing.
Right.
But there were still some things that looked funny. But game four, when they went to Augusta, that's when they figured
demolition.
It out.
Demolition, yeah.
And so
they took off.
That's one thing we'll talk about a lot this year, is them finding their stride and hitting it right at the end of the season to get ready for the postseason. But we are a long way away from the end of October.
Well, I'm sure right now practice
underway.
It's, you know, they're banging heads against each other every day in practice. They're ready to hit somebody else. They're tired of hitting each other.
They still got another week and a half
to go before that. And to me, week one is all about the excitement of getting back on the field.
Yep.
Week two drags, and then week three you're amped up all week because you know on Friday it's game night.
We will talk a little bit about some Big 12 football coming up on the show today. We spent a lot of time talking about the Kansas Jayhawks and how great their season is going to be in 2018. I want to talk a little bit more about K-State today, but Big 12 in general. I had a fun time last night, Steve. The Bankstons, they were treating me. Went up to the Borg, played at the men's night.
Had a great time doing that last year. You play with Big B.
Brian told me that you had a rough time the last time you went out to play, that you did not play your best. I don't know if it was a men's night or the last time that you went up and played there.
I did play up there, and I did not play that well. But we had a guy on our team, I was trying to think, I want to say Nick Chambers, because, you know, in scrambles, people have me on their team to hit the long ball.
Oh, yeah.
But Nick Chambers blew it by me by about 30 yards. That guy could crush it. So, and of course, I was trying to show off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And pound it out there. I was terrible. I was not good. We didn't use that many of my shots. Donnie Duck played real well. Big B was steady as they come.
Big B, the country club champion.
Yeah, Brian Bingston, McPherson, repeat champion at McPherson Country Club. They had their club tournament over the weekend. Brian Bingston was the winner. Beat Ted Morris by one. Jeffrey Warren was in there. He was third. They had 36 players I think it's a good thing. They had it in August this year, and a lot of years they've had it in September. But I think, you know, in the summer golf season, you need to wrap everything up in August because by September, guys just aren't playing very much. You want to be at
their best. They're focusing on football.
Yeah, everyone's focusing, you know, on school being back in session and going to events and watching the Chiefs and listening to the Chiefs and, you know, things like that and going to your favorite high school teams.
Yeah.
A lot of
Smoky Valley fans in attendance last night.
Yeah, those Lindsberg.
Called me out.
Did they?
Yeah, Don, he was giving all the instructions and saying where everybody would tee off from, and he was wearing his Smoky Valley radio shirt, And he said, now everybody knows I do the games here, but we got the McPherson guy here. Yeah. And everybody turned and looked at me.
For Lindsborg fans, if you go to midkansasonline.com today, Coach Lambert kind of gave some views on how things are going on up there so far. So Smoky Valley 9-2 last year.
A lot of good McPherson County teams this year.
Yeah.
And then we'll throw in Heston on the border.
Yeah, we have Heston. You know, we include Heston. Heston's going to be one of the best teams in 3A. I think Little River's going to be one of the best eight-man teams going. Smoky Valley's going to be one of the best in 3A. Boy, Smoky and Heston play.
Did you say Canton Galva?
Canton Galva's going to be improving. They have to play Little River right out of the chute. So, who am I leaving out? Inman, you know, coming off a tough year. The Dridger Nation, eight-man. First game of the year. Remember, Mount Ridge fans, 5 o'clock start. Got to get done before dark. Better. They may have
no
to drive,
overtime.
They may have to drive the cars up to the stadium and turn the lights on in case the game goes overtime. But they're playing Gossel. I think the Wildcats are going to be able to handle Gossel. And my man Jeremiah Meeks, who used to be my next door neighbor, he's the coach down there. He's excited because he's got some good athletes. And really, I think eight man is where Mound Ridge needs to be, considering their numbers situation. They've kind of fallen off in numbers in recent years, but they've got some quality players on that football team.
Steve, let's take our first break. Big 12 football, it's getting closer and closer. A week from tomorrow, and I'm sure one of the teams will be playing, but college football really gets underway. There's some games this weekend, but let's talk about Big 12 football. We'll do it next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. Can't buy
me love. Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, it's almost college football time.
Exactly. What is the very first? There's always a college kickoff classic. I wonder who it is. It's always like on a Thursday night or something like that.
Are you talking about the games that are coming up this weekend, like Colorado State and some of those teams that are playing?
Yeah, I didn't know. Is there one game that kicks off the season that's like a feature game that's by itself? Is there a Thursday night game or not?
Well, there are a bunch of Thursday games next week. Okay, here's the schedule for this weekend. Duquesne against UMass.
Oh,
you want to check that one out?
I'll be glad to watch that one.
Prairie View A&M against Rice. Oh, what a good
Prairie
one.
Prairie View A&M is somebody KU needs to get on their schedule.
Hawaii and Colorado State. Oh, thriller. CBS Sportsnet. And Wyoming at New Mexico State. Those are the big games this weekend.
Not exactly a scintillating schedule to get me excited. Hey, but the Swedes play Benedictine this weekend.
I think I would much rather watch that than Prairie View, A&M, and Rice.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Bethany does against Benedictine. Benedictine's number 12 in the national preseason poll.
Now, here's some games, Steve. Next Thursday, UCF, the defending national champions, go on the road to UConn.
With no Scott Frost.
That's true.
Now at Nebraska.
I think it might be a rude awakening for some of my Central Florida friends down there in the wonderful city of Orlando.
I'll bet Pistol will be following that game.
Nah, Central Florida and South Florida, they don't mess around together.
Okay.
No, two different places.
Okay.
So you got that one, some other weird games, Northwestern and Purdue, you got some Big Ten action.
Why would they be playing the first game?
There are some conferences that have in-conference games.
Wow.
First week. Here's one. Missouri State and Oklahoma State. What a game, Steve.
Well, I'm curious.
Any other good ones?
Yeah.
Texas A&M against Northwestern State. So I guess the only really good game next Thursday, Northwestern against Purdue. Then you get into Friday, Syracuse against Western Michigan.
Hey, Brian Ward, former MAC college coach, D coordinator at Syracuse.
Other than that, the real good games don't get going until next weekend.
Okay.
You've got, let's see if there's any top 25 matchups that are against each other. Ooh, Washington against Auburn. Number six versus number nine.
That'll be a
Tennessee, West Virginia, Michigan, Notre Dame. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Louisville, Alabama. There will be some good games.
Okay.
And then next Sunday, Miami against LSU.
Okay.
There will be good games.
The U.
But more importantly, Big 12. So the recent polls that have come out, the media preseason poll, Oklahoma 1, West Virginia 2, TCU 3, Texas 4, Oklahoma State 5, Kansas State 6.
Laughable.
And you don't like that.
Laughable. Kansas State at 6, that's just insane. Oklahoma State is going more off reputation, how they've been the last few years. They've lost a lot of people. TCU, I always feel, is a little overrated. Texas, Tom Herman's there now as the coach. They've had some great recruiting classes, but it's got to translate onto the field. Bill Moses Snyder has got one of the best offenses in the country. Defensively, they're going to still be finding their way, but their special teams are always great. I'm telling you, K-State, 9-3, 6-3 maybe in the Big 12, maybe 7-2, because they beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State last year. They won 5 of their last 6 games, and of course, I'm beating the drums loudly for my man Alex Barnes. Alex Barnes gets 20 carries a game, he will be a Heisman Trophy contender. And I know people are probably laughing at me. They're saying that, you know, I lost too much blood when I was in the hospital, affected my brain. But Alex Barnes, I did a thing in my column the other day. Every time he has touched the ball at K-State, he has averaged 6.5 yards a carry. The guy is absolute tremendous.
So here's K-State's schedule this year. For those of you that are wondering, okay, where can... And remember, I've seen people that have predicted K-State to be a 4-8 team.
Crazy.
So they open up the season with South Dakota, the Coyotes.
Easy.
That's a win. Mississippi State comes to town. They come to Manhattan.
Hey, you don't go into the Bill and beat Bill on a non-conference game. No way.
This is the second year in a row that K-State's got an SEC team in the preseason. Because remember, they were at Vanderbilt last year.
Remember, the Power 5 conferences have to play, you know, I think they have, don't they have to play another Power 5 conference in a non-conference game somewhere?
I don't know if that is a Power 5 wide rule. I believe it's an SEC rule.
Okay. But that's going to be the game. Mississippi State I think they're a preseason ranked team.
18.
K-State wins that game. Boom. They're in the rankings.
Third game. Texas San Antonio, who will not be suiting up Mandy Cooks.
Or Steve Henson.
No.
Steve Henson was a great football player.
And I think K-State, if I remember right, was at UTSA last year.
I think so.
So if they could beat Mississippi State, they're looking at 3-0, getting ready to go to Morgantown to take on preseason Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, Will Grier.
Yeah.
Who is just getting all this love around the country.
Will Grier is good. Will Grier started his career at Florida. Had some transgressions at Florida. West Virginia took him in. Threw for about 300 a game last year. Morgantown, tough place to play. K-State and West Virginia have had some great games down through the years. That's probably one of the losses for K-State.
Texas at home.
No chance for Texas.
Wow.
I'm telling you, the Bill.
Wow.
K-State is just hard to beat at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
At Baylor. Now, Baylor has not been very good for the last... Two years. But they played some teams fairly close last year.
That's a W for the Cats.
You feel good about them going to Waco?
Yep.
Oklahoma State at home?
They beat them at Oklahoma State last year. And Oklahoma State's going to be down. I'm telling you, no Mason Rudolph, no James Washington. They had I can't remember who the good running back was. He's gone. They've lost the triplets. And they've never been very good defensively. K-State's running game goes for about 300 in that game.
At OU and then at TCU.
That's a real tough stretch.
Yeah, that's two tough games.
That's two tough games, but I think they get TCU if they don't get too beat up at OU. And who's to say OU's going to be that good this year? I mean, they lose Baker Mayfield.
A lot of people.
I know. Yeah, I know they have the Texas Kyle Murray. Kyler Murray. But there's no – they've lost their running backs. They've lost a lot of good receivers. I mean, Oklahoma is not going to be, you know, the end-all, wear-all, you know.
Here's the toughest game on K-State's schedule. November 10th in Manhattan against the Fighting Jayhawks.
You know what the toughest thing about that is? When does Bill pull his starters? That's the toughest
thing. Was it last year?
30-20 last year.
That game was, they just could not put him away.
It was 30-20. And, but boy, KU has not played K-State competitive in Manhattan since Mangino was there.
Texas Tech, and then at Iowa State. In Manhattan.
Oh, they'll own them there. And then at Iowa State.
That could be tough.
Could be some snow on the ground.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
Farmageddon.
Yeah, Farmageddon. I still think K-State gets it done. I think Iowa State overachieved last year. They were kind of the, you know, the warm, fuzzy, feel-good story. I think they come back to reality a little bit this year. They've got a good running back, though, in Davis Montgomery.
You are on the train for K-State for 9-3.
Right.
And I think I'm more in the ballpark with them at 8-4.
I think those back...
That's just the way I see it. It's more 8-4.
The brutal part of the schedule... It's too bad they couldn't have gone like OU-KU, then TCU. OU-TCU back-to-back. I'm not sure how good TCU is going to be this year. New quarterback, always a pretty good defense, but I can't remember what K-State did with them last year. They would have played them in Manhattan, I think. I think they beat them.
Who, TCU?
Yeah.
I can't remember that far.
I can't remember that far back. I'm sure Mark Heidebreck's probably listening, or Grandpa Danny, they probably
know. I don't think Mark Heidebreck really cares all that much about K-State football.
Yeah, Mark Heidebreck would not care.
I'm not convinced K-State beats Mississippi State in that second game.
And see, that's...
That's the game I would be worried about.
That's the key to their whole season as far as getting national acclaim. Because if they beat Mississippi State, they zoom in. Because, you know, that first poll, nobody knows who's... You know, it's the preseason poll.
Bunch of schlubs like us up there.
Yeah, so...
Mississippi State and Nick Fitzgerald.
Good
the guy's good.
He's good. But I'm telling you, my man Alex Barnes... Alex Barnes, Dalvin Womack, Justin Silman.
Dalvin Womack was a beast.
Skyler, I love Skyler. You know, they've got the battle going with Skyler Thompson and Alex Delton.
A beast at Fort Osage.
I really like Skyler Thompson.
I do too.
I think he's terrific.
Have they announced a starter yet?
They have not.
Did you see that KU announced their starter?
Yeah, old cement shoes, Peyton Bender. He'll get sacked about 10 times a game. I really thought maybe the new guy, Miles Kendrick, the transfer, might step in there, but immediately when I heard that Peyton Bender has been named the starting quarterback over Miles Kendrick and Carter Stanley, I went to the KU chat line. David Beatty is getting massacred because everyone saw how Peyton Bender can't run. It's kind of like when David James used to quarterback at KU. That's long before your time.
Yeah, I was about to say David
James. David James would throw for about 300. And run for about negative 20 every game. So, but, you know, this air raid offense, I mean, it's been a joke. They haven't been able to run it well. I think you got to run the football. And you know, I want to see what Puka does. Puka Williams,
ooh,
this freshman running back that got out of Louisiana, very highly regarded. Khalil Herbert's back, had a 87-yard game or 91-yard game against West Virginia. Dom Williams, who had some good moments last year as a running back, he's back for KU in the backfield. I would really like to see him try to run it, but of all the areas, you know, on a really bad football team for KU, the worst is their offensive line. I'm not sure their offensive line. I think Baker, your Baker Wildcats, their offensive line would have a better chance against, you know, teams than KU's offensive line. Your Wildcats can probably have some guys that can move people around.
2 years ago, I would have taken Baker over KU.
Mm-hmm.
I really would have. Mm-hmm. And that's not a joke. And that's not me saying KU is just so bad. I'm saying that Baker was good.
And you know, and people look at North Dakota State or North Dakota?
The Bison?
Yeah. When Craig Bohl was the coach, I mean, look at the teams they beat. They beat a lot of good teams. So don't laugh at those, you know, subdivision teams.
Cats by 90, as we would say, in Baldwin City. Steve, I'm going to take my final break. When we come back, I got a story to tell you.
Okay.
We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Steve, I got a story to tell you since we only have a minute and a half left before we got to get out of here.
Okay.
So last night at the men's night, the Lindsborg men's night, had a little Scott's hometown food catered in. And I tried something that I'd never tried in my life. Potato salad.
Really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It tasted about like I thought potato salad would taste my whole life.
You took one bite.
And I didn't like it. I took like three bites,
okay,
to be fair.
And Scott's hometown food.
It wasn't them. It was me.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship ends. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
No, it's me.
Yeah.
I've never had potato salad before.
Okay.
Are you a potato salad fan?
Are you kidding? You know I only eat like three things. If it doesn't have
spaghetti, peanut butter sandwich,
if it doesn't have noodles and
lasagna,
pasta, if it's not Italian, I generally don't eat it.
Glass of milk.
There you go.
Yeah, no, potato salad is not my thing.
Yeah.
And it tasted exactly how I thought it would.
Yeah.
Maybe I would like it better if it was warm. Is potato salad always like a cold thing?
I don't know. But speaking of golf, we do want to plug that Turkey Creek is closed until the 29th of August. And there is a story posted. Turkey Creek members can play at Heston for $20. They worked out a deal with them. Treg Fall, friend of the show, clubhouse manager at Turkey Creek, informed us for them to get the course back to where it normally is, they have got to just keep people off for a week. So they're overseeding. They're really excited. They think the course is going to come back, you know, in a couple by October. Might be in really good shape. Should be in good shape because, you know, Turkey Creek was exquisite until we had the pump problem and then the big hailstorm. The hailstorm just damaged the greens just beyond repair.
All right, Steve. Have a good rest of the day.
Oh, got lots to do.
We're busy.
Yeah. Got to go out and check out practices, of course.
Wrapping up today's show, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.